join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Being a Person of Influence by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
So I realized we're in a pre-Christian era. So many things we take for granted that people know, they don't know. So many things that we take for granted that people ought to do, they don't do. You'd be surprised how many parents don't realize you shouldn't cuss at your kids and call them little bees. And come on, you'd be surprised because that's how everybody does it. And they joke about it. Comedians joke about it, how you talk to your kids, and you'd be surprised. Some of y'all was beat regularly with switches till you have moss going all down your back. Okay? And some, we joke about it, go about going and get the switch and all that kind of stuff. And it was abuse. Nobody told us it was abuse. Now, y'all quiet. I know. I wasn't beat with switches because, see, I lived in the projects. I had to go down 11 floors and go across the street to the park. If my mama told me to go get a switch, I wouldn't be able to find one. Come back tomorrow. I've been looking for that switch, mama. I tell you, I've been trying to find, but you know, we in the projects, it's hard to find switches around here, mama. So my mama didn't wait for no switch. I got beat with the iron cord, with extension cords. Okay? And we can talk about all this stuff. That's abuse, y'all. Amen. It is abuse. That doesn't mean you shouldn't discipline your children. But we can just perpetuate stuff that we've been seeing, and then somebody tells you that you shouldn't do this. You're like, what? What? So what can happen, you can become functional in your dysfunction. Which is why the Bible says in Romans 12 and 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I know that's how you think. I know that's what you've been taught. But let me renew your mind. Let me transfer your mind based upon the word of God. So when I live my life based upon the word of God, I start talking to my kids different. I start talking to my wife different. I respond different. I start having honor even towards my supervisor and my boss and all these kinds of things. Because the word of God affects every area of my life. So the church, unfortunately, is losing some influence as a result of sin, as a result of lack of anointing, as a result of scandals. Guess what, y'all? I discovered something real early in the ministry, in the history of this ministry, 22 years now. I discovered, y'all, how to avoid a scandal. It's real simple. Don't do anything scandalous. Don't that make sense? Tell your neighbor to try to help them. Say, if you don't do anything scandalous, you won't have a scandal. The solution to scandal is not Olivia Pope. Some of y'all girls, they tried it. The solution to scandal is not Olivia Pope. The solution to scandal is to not do anything scandalous. If we just walk by the word of God and do what the word of God tells us, we can avoid scandal. Come on now. I don't have to have no scandal regarding adultery if I don't commit adultery. And y'all know when you're this fine, you got to fight. But I'm willing to fight the good fight of faith. Glory to God. Now, Jesus was a man of influence. And the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. So if Jesus was a man of influence and we represent him, we are Christians, Christ-like. The saints were first called Christians at Antioch. They called them. They said, these people are like Christ. These people are like Jesus. And if Jesus was a man of influence, then as Christian, we should be influential people. Luke 2:52, it tells us that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He increased in wisdom. That means he got wiser and smarter as the years went on. Come on, it shouldn't that happen? Okay? He increased in wisdom and in stature. That's talking about his, you know, he grew up physically. And in favor with God and man. But I like the New Living Translation better. It said Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. So Jesus had favor with all kinds of people. He was influential with all kinds of people. And then the Message translation says, Jesus matured, growing up in body and spirit, blessed by God and people. Blessed by God and people. Blessed by God and people. So for all you talking about, all I need is God. No, God wants you to be blessed both through him, but he also wants you to be able to bless other people and they be a blessing unto you. God told Abraham, I will bless you and make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And as much as we talk about, as much as we talk about being blessed by people, can I tell you, it's more a blessing to be a blessing. And so Jesus increased in wisdom, in knowledge, in influence, and he grew in favor with God and the people. Now, Jesus was so influential that the Pharisees were concerned about Jesus' influence. Now, Pharisees, they were really the elite of the religious leaders of their day. When Paul says, he says, if I want to boast in the natural, he said, all these people talking about their pedigree and all them talking about all their degrees and their background. He said, allow me to talk foolish for a moment. Let me boast in the natural for a moment. And the first thing he says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was, in other words, I wasn't just a professor. I was a tenured professor. I taught other professors. Okay. I was at the higher echelon of the religious lawyers and the religious leaders. And they were so concerned that with all their education, with all their knowledge, Jesus was being more influential than they are. Can I tell you, when God blesses you with influence, you will be blessed with influence beyond your degree. You'll be influenced, we're blessed with influence beyond your experience. And the people who boast about what they did to get to this place, they're always going to be hating on you because you are blessed outside the system and they can't take credit for you. Oh my God. I'm one of those people who is blessed outside the system. Glory to God. And nobody can take credit for it but God. I told y'all, some of them came back and apologized, but they said folks were talking about me. And when he and I really had time to talk, Bishop I.D. Hilliard, who came and ministered for us, he said, Bailey, I had heard bad things about you. I said, what did you hear about me? He said, well, I heard you came to this city and you started a church and the folks were just coming to your church from everywhere. He said, and so at first, you know, because the people connected with me, he said, I didn't say anything about it. He said, but I kept hearing it after you invited me. And he said, so I asked him, well, is he doing anything wrong? He said, well, no. He said, is he preaching heresy? He said, no. Is he living an immoral life? They said, no. He said, well, don't sound like he got a problem. Sound like y'all was with the problem. But the problem was I was blessed outside the system. See, people always want to take credit for what God does, for what God does for you. You know, people say, you know, I went to school with him and now you take credit for me because we went to the same school, all 1,000 of us. In most of y'all's cases, I went to a school of less than 400. Okay. But people want to take credit, but God wants to bless you in a way that nobody can take the credit but him. And they said stuff like, you know, you started that ministry and you didn't check with the fathers of the city. Now, I did what the Lord told me to do. And I would have checked with the fathers, but he didn't tell me who the fathers was. If he told me, I would have checked. And then I would be in certain environments and folks wouldn't even, folks wasn't studying me. Amen. And so I had to learn to press into God. Sometimes because what God's going to do in your life, stop trying to kiss up to people. Stop trying to rub up against the right people. Stop trying to get in these particular rooms. Stop trying to get your name on this list. God got a list for you, glory to God, that he'll put you in a room just like he showed up in the room after the resurrection. He didn't come through the window. He just came to the door. He just showed up in the room. And before you know it, you in the room. And everybody's going to be wondering how you get in here. Look at somebody say, because God put me in this room. Hey, glory to God. Y'all know when the servants came, who regularly came and sat around David. The servants. I ain't even talking about the royalty, the court, just the servants. And one day they came in there and there was this crippled guy named Mephibosheth sitting at the table. You know, everybody wondering, how in the world he get here? Because one day he was down in Lodabar, and the next day, God didn't even take him through steps. He went from Lodabar to the king's table, glory to God. I'm here to prophesy to somebody and tell you God can miraculously turn your life around. That's why God said to Abraham in Genesis 14, look from the place where you are. Stop looking around where you are. Look from the place where you are. I will give you influence. So the Pharisees said, John 12 and 19, they said, the world is going after him. New Living Translation, they said, there's nothing we can do. Look, everyone's going after him. There's nothing we can do. We can't stop it. We can't stop their influence. We can't stop their favor. We can't stop their money. I'm prophesying to somebody. You're worrying about somebody putting a curse on you. When God blesses you, they can't stop your money. They can't stop your increase. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. They can get salt and pepper and sugar and a baking soda and whatever they mix together. But what you do to me, it already done to you. Because no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. That's for all you folks from Charleston and Beaufort. Always worrying about somebody working roots on you. The devil is a liar. I'm rooted in Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me, I condemn it. You going down, you a liar. I'm going up. You going to be poor, you a liar. I'm already rich. Glory to God. You sick, no, by his stripes I'm healed. You want to lose your mind? No, he keeps me in perfect peace. You got to use your mouth and counter every negative word. That the devil and people, anybody else. See, that's why you got to know this word yourself. Put up Joshua 1 and 8. God told Joshua, now you need to understand, Joshua was concerned that he was not as popular as Moses. Joshua was concerned that I haven't, remember when you talked to him after burning bush, I wasn't there. When you called him up to the mountain, I waited down in the lowly part. I don't have the experiences that Moses had with you. But God tells Joshua, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you, glory to God. And he says to him, this is how you're going to make it. This book of the law. My word shall not depart out of your mouth, but meditate. Another word for meditate is to mutter. Say it to yourself. Keep speaking it over and over. Meditate on his word day and night. And you observe to do what's in this book. He says, and all that is written therein, and I love this part, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Somebody say, I will make my way prosperous by my mouth. And through my meditation, Oh, glory to God. I'm not waiting on you to prosper me. I'll make my own way prosperous. I will meditate on this word. I will speak the word. I will count every negative thought. I will lift up the name of Jesus. I will speak his word. And I will make my way prosperous. Look at this. Not only will I make my way prosperous, God said, then you will have good success. Somebody say good success, which means there can be bad success. Stop worrying about how successful the drug dealer is. That ain't good success, glory to God. Stop worrying about how successful the people are on loving hip-hop and whatever else you're watching. That is not good success. Stop worrying about how successful all Instagram hoochies are, that they just flying all around from this one to that one by showing their big behind. That ain't good success. Talking to up in this place. Listen, Christians are to influence and affect our culture and the world, and not merely be influenced and affected by our culture and the world. I was in a setting, small group setting of pastors having a discussion, and Bishop Jakes was there, and I thought I made a very, very profound statement. And I said, we should not be affected by the world. We should affect the world. We should not just be, we should just be affected by the culture. We should change the culture. And Bishop Jakes said, well, there's some balance to that. He said, obviously we are, to some degree, affected by our cultures. He said, that's why those preachers ain't walking around wearing no suits anymore with 10 buttons on them. Now, some of y'all didn't know. One time we had buttons from here all the way down here. Okay. And that was the mark of you was a successful preacher. You had, man, he only got 3 buttons, man. He broke. Gotta have at least 5, you know. And so, but now our culture, we don't wear those anymore. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step. Nobody, don't be trying to cut yourself up now. Okay. And then, and man, we don't wear platform shoes anymore. I wore them back in the 70s. Yeah, I wore my own. I still got a corn in this toe right there. Because I had platform shoes that I walked to church in. Glory to God. I tried, this weekend, the thing now, you don't necessarily wear socks. And we were somewhere. And that's fine if I'm just going someplace. But we were somewhere, we were doing a whole bunch of walking. Okay, and I didn't have no socks on, was in shoes. And before the end of the night, I'm like, oh, Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. And then I got this big old blister in the back of my ankle. I said, this is the devil. Pastor Mark says, I said, I got to pop. He said, no, don't pop. She told me how to do that thing. She got some experience with that. But yeah, so to some degree, we're affected by fashion and all that kind of stuff. But you got to draw a line with that. I said, you got to draw, just because they wear it in your size don't mean you should buy it. Y'all don't like me now. You can't wear everything everybody else wear. We were somewhere this weekend. We were walking around this place, and I saw all these people. I told Pastor Mark, I said, they just don't care no more. You know, one woman walked around, and she just had like a halter top or just kind of bra-like thing, and just rolls. It wasn't abs, it was flabs. That don't mean no harm, but come on, but you, how many of y'all know you should cover that up? Lord of God. And then I said, see when she walking by, I'm like, what is she thinking? And I turned around and she had about 3-4 butts. 1, 2, 3, 4. Sisters, it's all good because some brothers like that. Some people like that. But just because they wear it don't mean you should wear it. On the other hand, I'm walking through the airport, saw this young man. I said, Pastor, I said, did you see that boy? And it wasn't even black young man. It was a white young man. And he was walking around and he literally was holding his shorts up. I mean, they were so big, and he didn't have a belt. He had to walk around holding. Walk. I said, now that makes no sense. Y'all understand? That just makes sense. You got to hold him? And then you're going to be a criminal too? How you going to run? You're going to trip over your own feet when God says, oh, man. So there's some things, y'all, even at the church, it's not that it's going to send you to hell. It's that we are supposed to be influencers more than be influenced. Jesus says in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, he said, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? So he said, the purpose why I leave you on the earth is to affect the world. To affect the earth. He said, now, if the salt isn't salty anymore, is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden on the foot of men. The Message translation says this. Let me tell you why you're here. See, some of us, we forget why we're here. We're not just here so we can make it to heaven. If all he wanted to do was make you to heaven, once you got saved, he would have immediately raptured you up and you would have died, went on to be with the Lord. But he saved you here to affect and influence the world for the sake of the kingdom of God. So Matthew 5:13, the Message translation says, let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. See, a lot of people tell me, we need to get rid of those Christians. No, you can't. If you get rid of us, this whole thing going down. We don't only one who keeping this thing afloat. Need to get these Christians off this job. No, you need us here so all y'all can have a job. I'm the one preserving this peace. We're the salt of the earth. I'm the one who pray that this company continue to do good. I'm the one who's praying that the blessing of the Lord rests up in here despite all you sinners. He said, if you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? If we stop influencing and are only the influencees, how are people going to see God? How are they going to hear God? How are they going to know God? He said, you've lost your usefulness and you'll end up in the garbage. Drop down to verse 14, King James Version. It says, you are the light of the world. We are a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but we put it on a candlestick and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Everybody say bright light. Big light. It's supposed to light up the whole house, right? So where we get this little light from? This little light of mine, oh, I'm going to let... Give me your little light. Shut up. Can't do nothing with your little light. You got a little light, any sinner come around and go. Your light gonna be gone. No, this light is the light of God in us. The love of God in us. The gifts of the Spirit in us. The Holy Ghost in us. The anointing in us. It's supposed to light up the whole room. You're supposed to light up your family. You're supposed to be the solitaries, those who are unique and special. Verse 16 says, so let your light so shine before men, here we go, that they shall see your good works. Everybody tell me, it ain't about works anymore. We understand that. You're not working to try to make it into heaven. Even though we were saying about that, trying to make heaven your home. Once you make Jesus Christ your Savior, heaven is your home. You already got the keys. It's just a matter of how quick you want to close on the house. And in the meantime, God don't want you clothes on the house right now. I need you here in the earth. I need your effect in that job. And God said, you don't need to divorce yourself from society. I need you to affect society. No, you can go certain places. Just when you go there, represent me there. When you go there, don't just be kissing up to everybody and kissing backside because you're glad you're there. Represent the kingdom while you're there. Glory to God. They may see your good works and glorify the Father. Mark 10, 42 and 43. See, I want you to see Jesus, the scripture was constantly distinguishing between how they are and how we are. And I need y'all to get this. Because everyone now, we're preaching and teaching in a way like there's not supposed to be any difference between us and the church. I mean, between us and the world, other than the fact that we come to church. And again, I'm not talking about merely your physical appearance and not wearing makeup and all that kind of stuff. That's foolishness. And that's a lot of stuff that's bonded, has nothing to do with anything. Okay? Some stuff you just need some common sense, whether you saved or lost. Amen. Like I said, something had nothing to do with your salvation, but it sure does. Oh, this is so good. I never said that. It has nothing to do with your salvation, but it sure affects your presentation. Amen. They have nothing to do with your salvation, but it does affect your presentation. And so, so some people are thinking and they're preaching in a way that's not supposed to be any different. But the scripture is always constantly showing us that's how they are. This is how we're supposed to be. Look at Mark 10:42. I'm going to read this from New Living Translation. Now, Jesus is teaching his disciples about being uniquely different. If you're going to have influence, you got to have unique difference. And so Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world, they lord it over their people. They rule with an iron hand. They scare everybody and threaten everybody, make everybody intimidated by them. The rulers of this world, they lord it over their people, and the officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But look at verse 43. Can you read that first part with me? But among you, it will be different. Come on, read it again. But among you, come on, read it again. So Jesus said, that's how the world does it, but among you, it'll be different. That's how they think, but among you, it'll be different. That's how they act, but among you, it will be different.
Who are you influencing in your everyday life? Are you positively affecting others? Bishop Herbert Bailey will help you to impact those around you and become a person of influence. Order this powerful series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for Being a Person of Influence. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.